This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Over the past few years, many sports teams have made the decision to change their nicknames and logos. There's been something of a cultural reckoning over racist nicknames. While it's been more of a prominent trend this decade, it's actually not that new. Take Pekin, Illinois, located just south of Peoria. Nowadays, the high school there boasts the Dragons as its nickname. But up until 1980, the school used a very different nickname. I'm not going to say that racist name on air. There was even a roller skating arena in the city with quasi-Chinese lettering on its sign that used the word in its title. But as the years went on, that name and the traditions that went with it drew increasing criticism and protests from Chinese-American communities. Back then, the Pekin community was fiercely protective. The change to the Dragons resulted in hundreds of students and even some parents protesting outside the school. Those protests faded with time, but even now the name change remains something of a flashpoint in local history. There's a TikToker who made a viral video talking about the history behind Pekin's name and former team nickname, and he's with us now. Ed Choi's TikToks focus on activism for Asian American communities, and he joins us now from Los Angeles. Ed, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Also with us is Jared Olar. He's local history specialist at the Pekin Public Library. Jared, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me on.
And before we go on, I just want to thank listener Jim West in Athens for suggesting this topic. We'll have details about how you can suggest your own ideas for future segments on the show at the end of the program. In order to make our schedules meet, we tape this conversation ahead of time. Because of that, we're not taking your calls live, but we always do love hearing what you thought. So send us an email to talk@21stshow.org. One additional note. I'm not going to use the epithet in this conversation, but our guest might. Listeners, beware. All right, Ed, I want to begin with you. How did you find out about the history of the Pekin school nickname?
Sure. So I lived in Philadelphia and grew up in Philadelphia for a while. And in Philadelphia, there was a cheesesteak shop called Chink Steaks. And so I did a video on that because I kind of knew of the history, you know, from living there, growing up with it. And the reasoning with that place was that the original owner who founded the place, I believe back in like the 40s or 50s, they said that he had very slanted almond-shaped eyes. So the argument was always that it wasn't racist because it was based on this white man who was named that because of his eyes looking, you know, very East Asian-like. So I did a video on that, and in the comments, someone commented, wait till you find out about Pekin's mascot. So it obviously piqued my interest, and I started looking into it, and, you know, suffice to say, I was just extremely blown away at the history of Pekin and their mascot.
Yeah. Well, Jared, let me bring you in now, because I think for this history to make sense, we have to kind of zoom out and go back to the founding of Pekin and where it got its name and what that means. Can you just talk about the legend of how the city ended up being called Pekin?
Sure. Yeah, there is a legend, and there's some historical scraps on the naming of Pekin. We know from the founding minutes that have been preserved of the corporation that founded the town in 1830, that the original settlers held a vote on names that were submitted, and everybody wanted to go with a name started with the letter P. We don't know why, but it came down to three names. The names suggested were Pekin, Portugal, and Portfolio, and Pekin won the vote. Now, the story that is first recorded in 1870, so about 40 years after that, by somebody who spoke to the surviving founding settlers. This pioneer historian's name was William Henry Bates. He was the first one to write a history of Pekin that was published, a formal history of Pekin. He indicated that the name of Pekin was suggested by Annalisa Cromwell, who was the wife of one of the five original platholders of the town. So William Henry Bates said, you know, I'll just quote what he said here. So after the completion of the plat of the new town in 1830, Mrs. Nathan Cromwell, for reasons still obscure, gave the city the name of Pekin, and thus it has remained to the present. And he added in a footnote on that page, it is speculated and a common legend in Pekin that the city was so named by Mrs. Cromwell upon the belief that the site was exactly opposite the site of Peking, capital of China.
And the city really embraced this identity, yeah. Right? In
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually 1860. So 10 years before William Henry Bates, 1860, there's a diary from Jacob Tharp, who arrived at what became Pekin in 1825, so 5 years before the town was founded. And he is the first one to refer to Pekin by the nickname of the Celestial City. And William Henry Bates, in his history, he also refers to that that particular history. There's another quote where he says, the survey made, the town laid out, Mrs. Cromwell being called upon, exercised her share of women's rights in that early day by christening the embryo City of the New Celestials, Pekin. Why she thus named it, the legendary history of the days gone by failed to record, and we can only surmise that in the plenitude of her imagination, she looked forward to the time when it would equal in size that other Pekin, the Chinese City of the Sun. So by 1870, definitely they've got this belief going on. 1857, somebody even tried to found another little town near Pekin called Hong Kong. That didn't go anywhere, and that area is now a part of Pekin. So there's already very early on this thing, and Pekin did embrace this fanciful association with Beijing and Chinese culture. It begins to show up in business advertisement using kind of mock Chinese characters, or actually sometimes even real Chinese characters. And it doesn't really become a mascot for the high school until the 1930s.
But Ed, I want to bring you back, because the mascot name was just the tip of the iceberg, because even the local skating rink in town was named mm-hmm. after that. How else did you see, Ed, the community embracing this name as you did your research on this?
So outside of, so as you mentioned, the skating rink in town is called the Chink Rink. And outside of that, the actual school would choose two mascots, two students from the student body to represent the mascots every year. And they were called the Chink and the Chinklet. So it'd be a male and a female student from every year. And then every year they would dress up in very stereotypical Chinese clothing. And they would, you know, basically parade them around. And, you know, the funny part is that the student body really looked at it as supposedly as an honor for them, you know, as non-Asian students. But the thing about mascots is, and it doesn't just pertain to Pekin, that typically mascots are this like animal representation, right? Some sort of non-human representation to, you know, serve as like this representation for the school. And it just, I don't think that people understand what it implies when you choose a certain demographic of humans and then place them amongst these group of animals. And there is like a bit of like an undertone of like, hey, you're not on the same level as we are. So the chink and chinklet of the schools, I thought, were deceivingly more offensive, because there was this ignorance-based pride that it went into parading, you know, Chinese people or East Asian people as their mascot.
If you're just joining us, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about Pekin, Illinois, just south of Peoria, more specifically about the mascot Pekin's high school had for many years, based on a racist epithet for people of Chinese ancestry. We talked about this with Jared Olar, a local history specialist at the Pekin Public Library, and Ed Choi, a TikToker who made a viral video about the history of Pekin's mascot. Because we taped this conversation, we're not taking calls live, but we do want to hear from you, so leave us a voicemail anytime, day or night. The number is 217-300-2121. That's 217-300-2121. Jared, what do we know about why the school stuck with this nickname and these characters for so long?
Well, of course, it had to do with how different America was back in the early 20th century. On through the 19th century, on into the 20th century, the how racism was really in the air. It was very much something that people took for granted. A lot of very ugly beliefs that they didn't really understand their ugliness, or didn't really care to understand. And so you have that part of it that helps you catch on. And it's also a part of, the local town's identity. Before the rise of radio and TV, other forms of mass media that we're used to, little towns in the middle of the North American continent could be quite isolated. And this is just the way we do things. We got our own local traditions, and we're going to do it this way. In the 1920s, there was a Peoria newspaper reporting on a basketball game over there, and they reported that a member of one of the Peoria teams insulted one of the members of a Pekins team, and called him this derogative epithet because of Pekin making such a big deal about its association with China, with Beijing. But that wasn't the official name yet, but it became a habit for newspapermen in the area to refer to Pekin's team sometimes by that nickname. And it was in 1935 where it first shows up in a Pekin yearbook. And they even then, it wasn't the official name of the team until like 2 years later. That's when we first see the Pekin dragon being shown as the symbol of the school, and later adopted by the city as a whole as one of the symbols for the city. So by that time, the Chinese heritage, or the sorry, the heritage of the fanciful association with China has really caught on, and you see it in most of the yearbooks from then on, right up to the early 1970s. That's actually even throughout most of the 1970s. The school really pulled out all stops in 1964 yearbook. That was the year that the basketball team won the state championship. 3 years later, they won it again in 1967. But the 1964 yearbook decided to divide up the four classes in the high school by the four by the traditional Confucian social classes of China, instead of calling them freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior. And the artwork was drawn on kind of imitation and some Chinese styles. Now, by winning the state championship, of course, that also brought attention, national attention, statewide and then national attention to this little town in the middle of Illinois. And because by the 1960s, this is when we have beginning the growing understanding how racist attitudes and beliefs and stereotypes need to go.
Well, Joy, I wanted to ask you about that. So, how the tide begins to turn locally, but also nationally. What prompted this sort of reckoning? Or was this name such a unique outlier? I mean, it's one thing to call, teams that are the Warriors that are sort of Native American derived, but are not necessarily a specific epithet. How do you think about that?
Well, I think to understand that, we actually have to go back a little bit, because right around the 1940s, when they started transitioning to that name, was also right around the time that anti-Chinese sentiment was really high in America. Because up until that point, the Chinese Exclusion Act was just starting to wean down. In fact, Pekin, I think they actually had an official mascot named Mr. Bamboo, who they li labeled as a Chinaman. And I think it was roughly around 1980s, with the involvement of media and how media was consumed and how news was disseminated with, TV, radio. I think it was just starting to become less able for Pekin to say isolated, without people knowing their name. So it wasn't until 1980, like I think the late 1970s and definitely around 1980, is when the press throughout the country started telling Pekin that they were not going to publish their names. So I believe the biggest publication that moved forward with that was the Associated Press, you know, because as we all know, the Associated Press is a syndicate that, you know, runs nationwide and internationally. So between the Associated Press and then all of the major news publications in Illinois, when they started saying that they weren't going to publish that name or Pekin in their newspapers at all, I believe that's when it started to turn around. But the crazy part is that the actual residents of the town fought it tooth and nail. And it wasn't until, I believe, a new superintendent was hired for the district that he just unilaterally decided that, yeah, I'm sorry, we're changing the name from that to, and I believe Dragons is what their official name was from then until now. So it wasn't until people started coming around to the fact that, like, hey, that's not just offensive, but that word in itself is like a very derogatory term. So if it wasn't really for the mainstream media, I'm not really sure where we would be with Pekin right now.
Yeah, it is sort of a next level offensiveness, the way compared to many other school nicknames and mascots. We're going to pause here for just a moment, but before we do, we want to hear what you think about what we've been talking about today or on any topic in the recent past, whether you liked it or not. If you think we got something wrong or for whatever reason, leave a voicemail at 217-300-2121. Anytime, day or night, 217-300-2121, and we'll be sharing some of your responses on air from time to time. Coming up, more on the history of Pekin's high school nickname and its legacy. After this short break, this is the 21st Show. Stay with us. It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about the history of the high school mascot in Pekin, Illinois. Up until 1980, it used a racist nickname, derogatory toward Asian American communities. We're talking about this with Ed Choi, a TikToker who made a viral video about that history, and Jared Olar, a local history specialist at the Pekin Public Library. We taped this conversation last month, but we do want to hear what you thought, so send an email to talk@21stshow.org, talk@21stshow.org. One additional note, I don't use the epithet in this conversation, but one of our guests does. I just want you to know it's coming. Ed, was any of this surprising to you as you were researching this history? You mentioned earlier that you grew up with a local business that had this racist word as part of the name, but how did it? What struck you about the way Pekin went about this, both embracing the name and then ultimately giving it up?
Well, this one was a little bit surprising because it's one thing for one business and then a subsequent neighborhood to be a little ignorant about it. Well, I guess it's not really that far off, but the lengths and the amount that the people of Pekin rallied around the name, just because it's growing up, maybe it's because I grew up, you know, later on, but growing up, that word is just like, it is so abrasive and it's just like so detrimental that people were just being so ignorant about it. I mean, when they changed the name from that to Dragons, there was like a massive protest. I mean, kids were literally staging walkouts during school. And I believe in one of the news articles, one of the students was even quoted stating that their parents are fully behind them because, you know, they're proud to be, you know, the Pekin Chinks as well. And I think that in a mass amount, maybe so publicly that has died down. But the part that kind of blew me away was that after I made that video and it started to go viral, people started reaching out to me who lived in Pekin. And, you know, in the video, I stated that even as early as like 2004, I believe it was that, you know, people were still making alumnus shirts with that mascot name on it. Well, what blew me away was that when that video went viral, people reached out to me from Pekin, and some of them belonged to the Pekin High School alumnus Facebook group. And they were telling me that the video was basically causing an uproar in those groups. And there were people who were in 2023 doubling down about how it wasn't offensive. And they were, you know, they were literally rallying to get like updated 2023 shirts made that still had that name and that logo. And that's the stuff that really blows me away, because, you know, it was one thing when back in, you know, 1980, you know, not that it was fine back then either, but, you know, in one of the news articles, one of the students is literally quoted stating, it's only a slur if you put something racial into it. And I think they meant that, like, they didn't necessarily mean it derogatorily every time they used it. But the thing about words that we learn from a young age is that words have a definition, they have a meaning. And even if you're ignorant to what the meaning is, and you're trying to twist it to be like it doesn't mean anything, if you say the F word, even if you mean it positively, you still can't use it because it has a definition tied to it. You know what I mean? In certain situations, like you wouldn't use it in a
public radio broadcast, for example. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So it's like, no matter what your intention is, it still has a definition to it. And that's the part that really bothers me. And I think a lot of people from any marginalized community who has words used against them is that people always try to use this in a way where they're, you know, trying to slightly say that it wasn't intended that way. But the thing is we all grew up with those definition of the words, and it's never used in a positive way. You know, in the 30 some years that I've been alive, I've never heard that word used towards me to ever be like, oh my God, Ed, you're just such a great person. You know what I mean? So it's just the fact that when people from that group are telling you, like they did in 1974, 1975, you know, with the Chinese Association of Chicago, when people are telling you it's offensive, just listen to them. Because it's because when people ask you to change a word or change a mascot, I think a lot of people associate their experiences, their memories, their childhoods to it. And changing the name of a mascot doesn't destroy your positive memories. If your positive memories are tied to putting a certain group of people down, then maybe that's the part of you that's problematic. You know what I mean? So when people find and fight against words or not using words or changing mascot names, for a lot of us, I think it makes us question those people's actual intentions, because it's otherwise, if your argument is that it's just a word, then why is it so hard for you to let it go?
Yeah. Jared, it's been 40 years since the name change, and we're still having these conversations, reckoning with not just racism, but also the issue of cultural appropriation. And I wonder what you hear from people in Pekin today, how they reflect on this history and the present.
Of course, time has gone on from the way Pekin was in the early 20th century to the mid to the late 20th century and on into today. There are certainly still those who hold some older and more ugly attitudes and stereotypes. I've encountered that in my life. I'm 55 now. My family came to Pekin when I was one and began to hear things. There's certainly a lot of the attitude of the racist attitudes that were so prevalent and do still exist and probably always will, sad to say, because human beings are human beings and we get to be angry and hateful toward one another. It's one of our failings as creatures. Not to excuse it at all by any means, but it is sad to say that it's something we will be having to continue to work on, not only in our community, but it's something that we just need to be aware of and need to. It isn't something that will go away unless you teach it. You need to teach to inform and to work against negative attitudes and hatred of people of other races, of other ethnicities. The old Pekin mascot, I don't think they necessarily meant it derogatorily. It was how people talked back then. It was how white Americans talked about Asians and people from China. It certainly was a derogatory, a slur. They just thought, well, this is the word that we use for people from China, and we're going to go and put on our little, have some fun pretending to be Chinese, or Chinese people talk like this, don't they? Oh yeah, this is how they walk. This is how they dress, right? It's that kind of stuff. It's like the old children's story from the 1940s. What was it? Long Name No Can Say, by
Tiki Tiki Tembo.
Oh yes. Ah. My late mother-in-law was born in 1949, and when she was a little girl in school, she must have heard that, and so she learned that every now and again, she would just drop that name, just because she thought it was funny, and it was something she picked up. She was a little girl, and we never even knew what it was about until just literally about two months ago. My wife and I decided to look up on the internet, and I died of embarrassment and shame. I thought, oh man, this is so horrible. But that was so common back then, and
even when I was a kid, we read that in school.
Yeah, that's the cultural context in which Pekin's old mascot, and all of the accoutrements of that, and the old skating rink's name, that's where that came from. There are certainly many people in Pekin of the older generation. They do look upon their childhood and their high school years fondly, and so it's a part of their it's a part of them. It's a part of their memory of remembering that, oh, they're proud to be this or that or whatever. I'm not, unfortunately, I'm one of those people who's never had any school spirit. I'm sorry about that. I don't understand that. I thought, okay, I went to a school, but no, I'm not a dragon, you know. I'm a guy who went to Pekin High School and got a high school diploma there, and I studied there, and I knew friends there. Okay, great. But no, I'm not a Pekin dragon. But there are some people who really, really love their high school heritage, and so for those of that generation, they are that. So that's going to be with us probably for several more decades as time goes on. Older generations pass away. Younger generations have been raised differently and don't have the same associations. I grew up in the tail end of the era when that was the high school mascot, but because I was young, I was like I said 14 in 1982, I didn't even know that was high school mascot or even what a high school mascot was. I saw the name on that skating rink and didn't even know, okay, it rhymes, but why would they call it that? And then one day I looked really closely at the sign and I saw what the emblem was on the sign. And I thought, that looks, and oh, wait a minute, that's a Chinese, supposed to be a Chinese person on roller skates. And I asked my parents, what does this mean? And so they told me. I thought, oh, okay. So that I just thought it was a kind of a silly rhyme or something, but I had no idea what it meant. But once they explained it to me, okay.
Yeah.
How long did that skating rink stay up for, Jared?
Oh, that was probably, it lasted up until probably the early 1990s, and then somebody else bought it. It's gone. It's completely gone now. It was until a few years ago. It had several different names in the last 20 to 30 years, but it's been completely demolished now. It's replaced by the Amazon facility, actually, in that area. So, Amazon's come in there, and we don't have a skating rink anymore of any name.
I'm sure it's the first time anyone's ever said, well, thank God for Amazon, but.
Ed Choi, I want to give you the last word in our conversation, and beyond the shock value and the OMG value that these videos get on TikTok. What do you hope people take away from reckoning with this sort of history?
The reason I make these videos is because, and this is something that we've all heard as children, and we all just kind of like whatever it off, but history really is important, that we need to learn the history so that we don't keep repeating history over again. And I think that's a critical thing to say now, just because racism is at an all-time high again, you know, and specifically for the Asian community, you know, hate crimes have been exponentially on the rise since COVID started happening. And, you know, it just, if you don't know history, a lot of the things that are happening in government and society, it just seems to be repetitive of what happened at the turn of the century, you know, 100 years ago with, you know, all the anti-Asian sentiment, the Chinese Exclusion Act, all the stuff that was happening, you know, with post-slavery and, you know, internment camps and just everything else just in the country. And I think I make this type of content just to really show people that, one, not only are we repeating history, but a lot of the things that we think of as history isn't as far removed from us and our generation and our current times as we like to ignore it and pretend that it is. And without knowing these things, history is bound to repeat itself more frequently and more regularly. And my hope is that when people know about this stuff, and they learn about what's happening, if we're not able to change the older generation's mentality, my hope then is that at the very least, we can educate the younger generation and that we could try to fizzle out some of this history from repeating itself, at least for the next generation. So my hope is that we can learn about the past so that we can realize how easy it is to repeat that history if we don't make the steps to be better, to do better.
Ed Choi, Jared Oler, thank you very much for being with us on the 21st Show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's our time for today. Before we go, I do want to once again thank listener Jim West in Athens for suggesting that topic. If you've got an idea you'd like us to look into, let us know by emailing talk@21stshow.org, or you can leave us a voicemail, get in touch on social media. All the ways to contact us are on our website, 21stshow.org. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.